Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen, amen. Hakuna Matata. Such a wonderful phrase. At first I was thinking, gosh, is this, do I need an interpretation for these words? Like, what is this? We've all seen Lion King, right? And if you haven't seen it, you're going to see it coming up real soon, I figure, in the theaters. Hakuna Matata is the phrase from this amazing movie I saw as a kid. If you don't know the story, I've got to break it down for you. And if you do, that's okay, humor me, because it's a good one to remember. The Lion King is a movie about one young lion's journey to find his destiny. Wow, could you imagine, like, that's how we're going to describe Lion King? It just sounds so deep and profound. Not really, because there's warthogs in it. But when you look at it, it's a story about one young lion and all the wisdom his dad's pouring into him. And then, of course, his uncle, who's greedy and he's power hungry, ends up killing his uncle. Oh, man, I'm sorry. That's a spoiler alert. The uncle kills his father. Sorry. So the uncle kills young Simba's father. And, you know, he ends up piling on all this guilt on Simba. The uncle blames it on Simba. He says, Simba, it's your fault, if only. And, you know, he just ends up taking on all this shame and all this guilt, this little cartoon lion, really? And he ends up running away from home, and he finds these two strange friends. And these two strange friends share with them their philosophy for life, and it begins to not really solve any problems. This philosophy is Hakuna Matata. It means no worries. Such a wonderful phrase. It means no worries for the rest of your days. And Hakuna Matata, this idea is great because one of the hugest, the largest, the greatest, the most challenging enemies we'll ever face in life is this little W word called worry. I mean, worry is one of those things that can run and rule your life. It can be a slave master to young and old and everybody in the middle. I mean, worry is one of those things that drives the rich and the poor. Worry is one of those things where it doesn't care where you live or what your zip code is. Worry is one of those issues in life that can drive despair into the depths of even the strongest of hearts. It's one of those things like a small dripping drop of water. It's like a small leak that will find and work its way into the strongest of structures and rot it from the inside. Worry is terrible. It's an absolutely terrible way to live. And Simba's friends, Timon and Pumbaa, they decide to do what a lot of our entertainment industry says about worry. You just ignore it. If you ignore it and you pretend it's not there, then it'll go away. I mean, if anybody understands Festivus and the airing of grievances, or if you've ever tried Serenity Now, then you understand that Hollywood's pushing an idea that if you ignore it, if you put the blanket over your head, it won't exist. And a lot of us, we end up dealing with worry in the same way. As a matter of fact, it's the only way that we can get through it is you just decide to put on the blinders and not look at it. But as any story about worry goes, young Simba finds out that an ignored problem will always outrun even the fastest of marathon runners. Catches up with him. And it turns out that every problem Simba ever tried to ignore caught up with him. And he had to go home and face it. Wow. Wow, The Lion King. Way to go, Disney. You know, just there you go. That's the story. Now, there's this moment in Jesus' life where he begins to deal with this. And it's in the book of Luke. I want to go ahead and go with it. I want to read this to you. Because, Disney does pretty good at telling a story, but when it comes to the story of stories, there's nothing like the Bible. Yeah. And you'll find that the way Jesus begins to describe this idea of worry and fear and faith, he begins to paint a picture of truth. So one thing I love about the Bible is that it paints reality in the way it needs to be seen. You see, worry, as Jesus and the Bible begins to describe it, worry really is, it's a preoccupation. It's a preoccupation with the problems of life. It's a preoccupation with the circumstances, whether it's real or imagined. And it's us becoming overly concerned with something that will go wrong. That's what worry is. Worry is one of those things where you just know something bad is going to happen. It's where it's a problem that you believe, whether it's real or not, that it continues to drill down in your heart. That's what worry is. Now, the crazy thing is, worry is concern gone wrong. Because we all know that problems are real. Like, you know, you didn't get saved and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, I don't have any more bills, my kids listen to me all the time, my dog, you know, poops in the right place of the yard, I don't have to pick it up or anything like that. You know, that's not the way life works. And Jesus begins to paint this picture in the book of Luke about what we need to do to understand it. You see, worry is concern gone wrong. Concern would be the right way to look at your problems. Concern is a legitimate care that motivates you into a prayerful action. You see, one is based on fear and one is based on faith. You see, worry is driven by fear. It's the belief in life that will always end up in the worst possible way. That's what fear is. Fear is the opposite of faith, because they're both trust. Fear is trust. Worry is trusting in fear that everything will always go wrong. But faith is trusting in God that things will always work out for the best. And that's where we have to choose on how we're going to live life. Because the same thing with concern and worry is they both deal with problems. Concern and worry both deal with the problems of life. Because bills have to be paid, you gotta tell your wife you love her, you know, you gotta feed your kids, you gotta put them in the tub, you know, you have to make sure you face your boss in such a way that you don't get fired the next day. And we all have these issues of life that have to be dealt with. And when it comes to these concerns and problems, we have to deal with them either in worry, fear, or we'll deal with them with a godly concern that's built out of faith. So Jesus, finally, here we are. Jesus says in Luke 12, it's this moment where Jesus is going through this whole chapter dealing with all these emotions that we deal with. He's talking about how we're supposed to approach them in faith. And in Luke, the 12th chapter, Jesus is interrupted. Someone in the crowd begins to yell out and say to him, he says, teacher, Jesus, tell my brother. It says, sounds like my kids in the morning. Tell my brother to divide my inheritance with me. Obviously, a family member had passed away. So Jesus comes back with a wonderful clapback, and he says, man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? I like it. He's just kind of like, what does this have to do with me? You know, and Jesus says, man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? And little did he know that Jesus is asking permission to speak some smack into his life. And Jesus says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, all your desire for other people's things. For one's life does not consist in abundance of his possessions. And then Jesus began to tell him a parable, a story about a spiritual truth. So Jesus says, once upon a time, he says, there was once a man, a rich man, that produced plentifully. This rich man had a crop that produced plentifully. And this man thought to himself, what shall I do? What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store all of my plentiful crops. And he said this, he said, I know. I'll do this. I'll tear down my old small barns. I'll build larger ones. And then I'll store all of my grain and my goods in there. And then I'll say to my soul, once I have all these things, I'll say to my soul, soul, we have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, drink, eat, and watch Netflix. But God said to him, fool. When God calls you fool, we know we have a problem. God says, fool. This night, your own soul is required of you. All the things that you've prepared, whose will they be? Now, this is a funny story because Jesus is dealing with the problem of a man who wants an inheritance. So what does he do? He doesn't answer him with his problem. He presents him a new problem. He says, you want the inheritance. What about the person who's giving up the inheritance? I don't know. Maybe Jesus is going for the jugular and he's telling him a story about his own father. I don't know what he's doing here. But he says, imagine the other side of this story. There's a man who has all these things. He's already rich and now he has more than enough. So what does he do? He has an amazing crop and now he has more than enough. And instead of looking at what God wants him to do with it, he wants to keep it to himself. He makes all these wonderful plans and then he dies before he gets to enjoy any of them. So you have to say, what the heck does this have to do with worry? What's the issue? So the first man with the brother, where's his motivation? It's greed, right? But his greed comes from his worry. I'm scared I'm going to miss my fair share. Where's my peace? Don't I deserve this? I'm worried that if you don't get into this, Jesus, then he's going to get more than me. There's this worry, this nag inside of him that he's going to miss out on something that he obviously deserves. And I know this because as Jesus steps in the next sentence, he says, therefore. And we all know that when you see therefore, it's always there for a reason. Jesus is saying, because of what I just said, now I'm going to break it down for you. This story of greed, the story of this issue of this man who's afraid he's going to miss out on inheritance. He says, are you really worrying about the things? Are you concerned? Is your mind, is your heart pointed in the right direction for the things that really matter in life? Jesus says in Luke 12:22, he says, now he says to his disciples, therefore, because of what's happening right here, I'm going to tell you this. Do not be anxious about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barns, but yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? What good is worry really doing? If then you're not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest of it? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these flowers. But if God clothes the grass like this, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? I like it because even if you have a little bit of faith, you're still getting clothed. Yes. And do not seek what you're to eat, do not seek what you're to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. And your Father, I love the relationship there, and your Father knows what you need. Instead, seek his kingdom, and then these things will be added to you. You see, worry is a vision problem. Worry is a vision problem. It's a problem with your perspective. You see, because both worry and concern look at the same problem, but they react and see two different things, which creates two different responses. You see, it's funny if you have brothers and sisters, maybe you grew up in a family, it's funny how your family, it can experience a tragedy, a difficulty, a challenge, and one brother and one sister can act in two different ways. Isn't it interesting? I know that's happened in my family, where there's something that's happened to my family, and there's been two reactions in total different ways. It's not that you're a victim. It's not that the world's against you. The problem is, how are you viewing the challenge that are brought to you? Because everybody in this room is promised problems, but we get to choose the perspective by which we respond to them. You see, this man experienced a tragedy, and it was ripping his father apart. All he could think of was money. What about my needs? What about my needs? Where am I going to be? How am I going to take care of? What are people going to think if I get less? I mean, who knows? Who knows what was racking his mind in this problem? And the person who was giving it to him was only focused on making sure he doesn't lose his riches and wealth. What if I don't have big enough barns, then all this stuff I'll lose. And I mean, he didn't think to give it away to the poor. But anyway, all he could think of was, I can't lose this. I can't lose this. So the worry drove him to do things that he couldn't even enjoy in the end. The worry robbed the life out of every blessing God wanted to do inside of them. You see, worry is a perspective problem. Worry really is the fear of lack. If worry is based in fear, worry is the fear of lack. It's when we become afraid of what we don't have, what we won't get, or what's missing in our life. That's what drives worry. Worry is the fear of lack in our life. If you've ever, if you've been a student, if you had to write papers, or if you've had children, then I think you can understand this. It's funny because worry puts all the focus on what's missing. If you've ever been woken up at 2 a.m. by a crying child, or you can't get to sleep at night, all my insomniacs in here, you know, we're recovering, we're making it. Or if you've ever had a deadline for a project, and all you can think about is, if I get it done right now, I'll get 6 hours of sleep. And then you begin to think 6 hours of sleep is not enough because I have to present tomorrow. Oh my God, I'm not going to get enough sleep. So you become worried about the fact that you're gonna get 6 hours of sleep. And because you're so worried, you can't sleep. So you're staring at the clock and you think to yourself, if I go to bed right now, I'll get 5.5 hours of sleep. Oh my God, that's even less than six. What am I gonna do? If this kid doesn't stop crying, I won't be ready for work tomorrow. Oh my God, if I go to sleep right now, I'll get 5 hours of sleep. And 5 hours of sleep is even less than 6 hours of sleep. This is terrible. I can't live life this way. What is going wrong with me? If I finish now, I will get 4 hours. I just won't even go to sleep. I can't even. And all you can focus on is just how little sleep you're getting. And it's not helping you at all. Because all you're looking at is how little you have. It's a perspective problem. Oh my God, I'm only get 4 hours of sleep. Well, everybody else is in the house is sleeping, so I guess I can pray for a little bit. I've been meaning to read this book for, that's what I learned how to do when I had to hold my kids when they're going to sleep. You know, that's what was one of my jobs as dad, is I just hold kids and try to, you know, you just gotta keep the bottle in there because, you know, they're crying and trying, they got a drink, you know, so they can't cry. And it was like, well, I guess I'll try to read my books or something like that. And, you know, anytime you get into a really good book, you fall asleep. And then it works, you know, because you're not focused on what you're missing in life. You're focused on what you do have in life. If worry is a perspective problem. And this man was so worried about how little an inheritance he would get is he was willing to destroy his family in the middle of tragedy because of it. How often have we done the same thing? We've been so mad at the little we've been get when even Jesus said, "Oh ye of little faith." Because even little faith gets answers. So if our perspective would change from not how little I have to how much I do have, worry would begin to lose its power. Because concern is a faith-based motivation that moves me to action. And faith-based motivation that moves me to action is what gets answers to prayers. Because faith with works lives. But faith without works, worry. I have faith that everything will go wrong. That's what fear is. Faith that everything will go wrong. It paralyzes you because that's what worry does. Paralyzes you. Worry paralyzes you to where you can't move and can't do anything. Or it pushes you to make really stupid decisions. See, I love how the Apostle Paul breaks it down in 2 Corinthians. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of God. All those bad ideas, all that worry that I don't have enough. No, you have enough. You don't realize it. See, it's not that we don't have enough, it's just we're probably not using it properly. It's a perspective issue. Worry is a vision problem. You see, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God says that God's gonna take care of it. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. You see, worry is one of those issues in life that creates a downward spiral. And once you get into it, I only have 6 hours of sleep. I only have 5 hours of sleep. I only have 4 hours of sleep. There's only $300 in my account. Oh my gosh, there's only $200 in my account. Oh my gosh, there's only $100 in my account. Which family member can I still borrow money from? And it's a downward spiral that only focuses on how bad things are. But what does Paul say? That you need to interrupt that spiral with the thoughts that put Jesus back into perspective. Because worry is a perspective problem. It's a vision problem. It's looking at the wrong thing. They're both dealing with issues. They're both dealing with problems. Because look, you only got $100 in the account. You got problems. And problems are spelled B-I-L-L-S, okay? If you have a child that's gone astray, you have a problem. But you see, you'll never find the answer looking at the problem. You find your answer by looking to the one that supplies the need for the answer. So when you look at the world we live in, it's probably one of the most stressed out times. I mean, and it's got to be technology and all these other things and all this access we have. I mean, you think about it. There was a time where all this stuff that we know that's going on in the news and the internet, the only person who knew all that stuff was Jesus. Right? Like, Jesus is the only one that knew all the droughts and famines and wars that was going on in the world. And then somebody invented Google. And now, we live in a world where we try to take on the burden of God. I mean, think about social media. Before, everybody thought those same thoughts. You just didn't know it. Now they're just thinking out loud. Because everybody's disagreed on politics. Everybody's disagreed on whether it's Bakers or In-N-Outs. Everybody's disagreed on all these really important issues of life. But now with social media, now you just have this insight. You know, social media is the superpower of reading minds, and it's terrible. And these are the things that only God had to wrestle with. And for whatever reason, we've decided to pick from the tree, and we want the knowledge of good and evil. And we've taken this worry on ourselves. And the problem is our shoulders aren't as big as Jesus. Maybe that's why he told us to switch burdens. Just a thought. You can't focus on what you don't have. You have to focus on what you do have. You see, when you begin to focus on what you do have, it changes what you're chasing. What was this man chasing in the story with Jesus? He was chasing after money. And whatever that brought him. He was chasing after the thing. But you see, the answer to prayer is always secondary. The answer to prayer is always, it's always the thing that comes because we get our priorities straight. The pursuit of happiness will never happen because you'll never catch it. But the pursuit of the one that brings happiness, that's what brings happiness. That's why you can be a millionaire, a billionaire, you can have everything in the world and all of his desires and still be empty on the inside. Because the pursuit of all those other things, it never satisfies. Because it's chasing shadows. You'll never catch it. You see, your peace is the result of your pursuit. Your peace in your life is the result of your pursuit. What are you chasing? Because that'll dictate in your life how stressed you are. If you're pursuing the sleep, you're not going to find it because the clock keeps ticking. The baby keeps crying. The paper's still coming. You know, the bills will be there, and then so will the late fees. You know, it's not going to stop. So you got to stop chasing the things that you cannot catch. And we have to change our pursuit. See, our peace is the result of pursuit. And a lot of times, we get stuck in this lie that this world tells us more, more, more. There's very few things in life that you actually need more of. You probably count them on one hand. You don't need more. Look, chances are, the answer to your problems is not more money. It's not more sex. It's not more followers or more acclaim. It's not a new office. It's not more promotions. The answer to the problems, the worries in your life is not more. Because God has prepared you and God has placed you with everything you need right now in your life to solve the problems that you have. That's what it means when your faith is like a mustard seed. Everything that this seed needs is inside the seed to grow the tree that's designed to grow. It's prepackaged. just add water, right? And everything that this seed needs is inside of it. The external stuff, it has no control over. The seed doesn't decide how much water or sunlight it gets. The gardener does. The good gardener does. And the seed grows when it subjects itself to the will of the gardener. Everything you need is already in you. It's a matter of allowing Jesus, the good gardener, to pull it out of you in right and due time. I mean, think about it. We end up telling God, God, I need a new car. God, I need more friends. God, I need a boyfriend. God, I need a new job. God, I need this. God, I need. And the truth of the matter is, the very thing we need, if you only focus on your needs, you miss what God's already given you. Think about it. If you're a single mother in this place, you've probably said, my child needs a godly man. A husband, somebody to be able to be an influence. And the truth of the matter is, that may not be what you need, because everything you need to raise those children right now is in your grasp. Yeah. Think about it. Let's say you're Moses, and you have a bunch of people looking to you for answers, and there you are. You're Moses, and your back is up against the sea, and in front of you is all these people freaking out, "We're gonna die!" And just beyond all these freaking out people, is the greatest army the world's ever seen barreling at you. So what is Moses saying? God, I'm in the wrong story. I need an ark. I need a really big boat to move all these freaked out people to get them out of here, because I'm going crazy. But he didn't need a boat because he had a stick. He didn't need a boat because he had a stick, which makes no sense. Let's be real, the Bible doesn't make sense sometimes. Really, God? A stick. Really? Well, let's make it work. That's the beauty of miracles, is a miracle requires a problem that you can't solve. And if you're worried, that simply means you have a problem you can't solve. So if you change your perspective to, God, I need all the things you're not giving me, to, God, I only really need the thing that you've already put inside of my hand. And the beauty is that the thing that you need to solve the problem that you're worried about is within your reach right now.
Come on.
Right now. It's not coming tomorrow. It didn't come yesterday. You didn't miss the boat. You're not too late. Look. The opportunity's not gone, because the answer to the problems you have are right there within your reach right now. And I know. Don't tell me it's too late, Pastor Richard. You don't know. My family left me. They won't answer my phone calls. No. For you to tell me that it's too late would dictate that God cannot solve your problem. And if God cannot solve our problem, then my friend, your problem is bigger than God. And I just don't think logically that makes sense. So for God to be God and for us to be us, it is never too late, because there's always a solution. It may be different than yesterday's solution, and it may be different if you sit on your butt and don't do it. Tomorrow's solution may be different, but your solution is always within the grasp of the person who cries out for help. Moses thought he needed a boat, but he already had a stick. You think you need X, Y, Z, but you already have the answer right in front of you. For the single mom, maybe that's an uncle, maybe that's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a church leader. Maybe God's just equipped you with an anointing to be able to raise your children in such a way that they never felt a lack. I'm going to tell you this. When God doesn't answer your needs, look to your haves, and you'll never be without. It's this idea that Paul talks about in Philippians. He says, now I'm not speaking, in Philippians 4:11, I'm not speaking of being in need, because I've learned that in whatever situation I'm in, to be content. Content. Content says, God, what you've given me is enough for this moment. I know how to be brought low, I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Why? Because I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, through Christ who strengthens me. So it doesn't matter how much or how little you have, you have. You have, so you can. And when you recognize that, the promise always produces hope. I love what 2 Peter says, good old Peter. He says, the Lord is not, 2 Peter 3:9, he says, the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards me. That's funny, because God's the one being patient right here, not me. And this is talking about salvation. It's talking about like the real heavy lifting in life. But it reminds me, because worry is a vision problem, it reminds me of Amazon Prime. You guys didn't get that one? Oh, okay, well, let me explain it, because it's obviously clear. You know, Amazon Prime is the weirdest thing in the world. If you've ever experienced two-day or one-day shipping, it's crazy, because I know with me, I'm just twisted enough to think, ooh, I'm getting a package. And Amazon Prime, as soon as I hit the purchase button, it starts this really strange ritual in my life of constantly refreshing the tracking page on FedEx. And it's like, did it move? Did it move? Did it move? It's been 5 minutes. Surely it's not in Tennessee anymore. Did it move? Oh, it's on the airplane? Ooh, it's 500 miles an hour coming right. Wait, why are they sending it away from me? Have you ever wondered that before? It's like, I'm in California. Why is it going to Florida? Anyway, obviously I'm on Amazon Prime too much. But it's funny because when I hit the purchase button with Amazon Prime on whatever I'm getting, you know, a new pair of socks, it doesn't create worry in me, because the sock company took my money. You better believe they took my money. But I don't have socks, because my socks were in Michigan somewhere, on their way to Florida for some reason, and eventually going to Albuquerque. But I'm not worried. The exact opposite happens. It's like Christmas every day. Like Amazon Prime means I have Christmas every time I push the purchase button. And instead of building worry and anxiety, when will my socks get here? Are my socks arrived? What if the socks go to somebody else? It creates this anticipation. I can't wait for my socks to get here. Will they get here today or tomorrow? Am I in a one-day zone? And then you see the van show up. The Amazon van's here. If I'm away, Amazon is so kind, they take a picture of my porch. And they say, Richard, your socks are here. Don't believe me? Just watch. And they send me a picture of my boxed socks. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. No worry whatsoever. So what happens is, we have a need, and you pray for it, and it was purchased by the blood of Jesus. And then we say, God, are you going to answer it? God, what if you don't? God, what if it doesn't happen? God, and little do you know that it's left the pearly gates. That's cute, right? Come on, that's cute. The Bible says we have every spiritual blessing, which God is manifesting in reality, into a physical reality you can interact with. And as soon as you pray for it, God begins to do his work, and he begins to provide for you. And what happens is, unlike Amazon, we instead of being anticipatory of what God's bringing us, we begin to worry, and it negates all the joy that God wants to do in the process as we wait for his goodness to reveal itself to us. See, worry is a perspective problem. If I can get excited about Amazon, then certainly my prayer life can begin to change. Yes. As I'm anticipating God's goodness. Let's wrap this thing up. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. And you see, what Jesus begins to tell this young man is, you're missing the point. You're just like the person that was so worried they would lose even more money that they wasted their entire life trying to solve problems that didn't really exist. Are you going to do the same thing with your brother over money that doesn't even belong to you? It's a perspective problem. And Jesus says, therefore, do not worry, because the answer you need is already in your hand. If you have the right perspective, instead of worrying, you'll begin to anticipate God doing something good on your behalf. And I love it because Jesus wraps it up in verse 31, and he says, seek first the pursuit. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. Seek first Jesus, and all these things will be added to you. See, God knows the things that you need are really legitimate needs. You need the finance. You need to see your son come back to the faith. You need to see a promotion in your job. Look, sometimes you just need a new car. Amen. But the promise doesn't come from pursuing the thing. The blessing, the solution, the answer comes from pursuing the promise giver. And when we begin to change our perspective, all of a sudden, our life begins to rearrange. And we begin to see anticipation and real concern that's filled with faith for the things that God wants to do in our life. If you guys got something from God today, let's give him a praise. Let's do this. You know, worry is a vision problem. And Jesus says this really strange thing. He says, this is what the nations do. The nations are chasing after all these things. You know, it's a Hakuna Matata. Let's get rid of worry by focusing on everything except our problems. And the way that the world lives, it's misguided. It misses the point. We miss the stuff that's really important. Today, I want to ask you, How's your vision? What's your eyes focused on? What are you chasing? Where are you going? What's driving your worries? Because your worries have an answer. And that answer is Jesus Christ. So how are you doing? How are you doing in your life? Who's in charge? Who's running your life? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it lack? Is it a life that's kind of like that young man, that he's just trying to find what he can get? You know, I just want to suck as much as I can out of life, because next thing you know, you're dead, and then, you know, you're never coming back, or whatever the case is. Guys, there's a different way of looking at life, a different way of seeing reality, a reality that has the right perspective. How are you and God doing? Because everything that we've talked today about has to do with relationship. Not rules, regulations, it's relationship. And today I want to ask, how's your relationship with God?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.